Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation After Hours. I'm JT. We've got Gabrielle and Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef, two of my favorite people in the whole world, and that is a true story. So what's the one thing? I'll go to Will first and then to Gab. What's the one thing after all your years in the beef business? I mean, you grew up around it. Working in it now, you're running a company. What's the one major thing that you've learned?
You better let me smoke on that for a while. That's a big question to drop on me. The one thing I've learned, good grief, I don't know. You almost learn something all the time, even though it's complicated business and it's limited in its scope. You learn something all the time, but really what I'm learning right now is to try and how do I keep up with the market and what's the market going to do? And I'm not talking about prices. I'm trying to get my mind around what's going on with Beyond and Impossible and some of this movement to create something other than beef. And they say it's left over from 2014-15 when you guys were having to pay $6 a pound for hamburger, and Now that left a hole open to make something cheap, something a replacement, and it just took them 3 years to get to market, or 5 years to get to market. And it's too bad they had to blister the cattle business to get there. But what's the next one? You know, it'd be nice to – how do you get ahead of some of those – those things that come at you like that? Just strange things all the time. So,
you know, I've always thought it was like, you know, around Halloween and stuff, they have those, you plug them in, they're an electric ball, and where you touch them, it's kind of like the sparks.
Yeah.
You don't really get shocked because it's all in there. But they're kind of a toy thing. You rub your hand and this thing's spinning around and in circles. That's what I always thought, like having to predict things from your positions is like, because you touch it over here and it sparks, and you touch it over here and then it goes away from you and sparks and zips around three times and then hits the ceiling and you go, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
True. That's it. In our world, I'll be honest, in our world, I know my father being there a lot, you know, he's in our lap a lot, and we're always looking around and going, how do you make any money? Who's making any money? Who out there is making any money? That guy making $1 million? Is that guy making $1 million? Who's making money? You know, because that's the part that seems to be the biggest mystery to us is what business do you get in to make money, and how did Apple and Amazon and Google become the industries they are? Is it just numbers of people? I think it's just numbers we don't understand.
Well, it was like, I probably won't tell this story correctly, and I think maybe Gabrielle knows this story too. When Bill Gates and Paul Allen and those guys, and they went to IBM, and they said, you know, we want to put our operating system in your computer. And IBM said, okay. And the one of the guys in the meeting, one of the presidents or something, came out and he says, You need money? We'll give you like $5 or $10 million. And he said, No, you just put our operating system in your computer. And of course then they went over to some of the other companies and did it too, like that. And then except for the Apple products, every computer that was going out the door on the consumer level had Microsoft in it.
Yeah.
They didn't need money after about 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know, I think back a lot to a friend of mine it was back in college, was in that whole break open days, you know. And I think a lot about the old computer we used to use where we banged on the keys is the only way to operate it. It didn't have a thing called a mouse, you know?
Right,
and
right.
Well, isn't that amazing to think today as your kids are, you're looking at, you're like, you guys don't have a clue, you know, how far evolution has been and what's it going to be in another month?
Well, I remember sitting at Oregon State in my graduate level banking class doing punch cards.
Yeah.
We had to do Professor Towie was his name, taught banks and banking at the graduate level. And one of your assignments was to, well, I know he was getting paid for it by somebody, but he was creating this like an algorithm thing to analyze something. But we were, all we had to do is go punch these cards. They told you what to punch. We didn't have to figure out the programming.
We
just sat there and punched out
labor.
A thousand cards a piece.
Yeah.
Like that. Got an A. But that was true.
For sure.
Yeah, that was true. It was crazy. What's the biggest thing you've noticed?
Well, I take it a different direction, but that's just, I think it, and this is kind of a metaphor for life, we're only as good as the people we get to work with. And that's true system-wide, you know. And that is the guys on the ground and the guys with the truckers and the feedlot operators and the nutritionists and the truckers that get it to the plant and all of those amazing employees at the processing facility. You know, when we started the Prime program, we went, you know, to the processing facility and watched those people working so hard to do a good job with our product and get it, you know, get it in the right box and get it with the right label. And I mean, they were, that you could just see their dedication in every inch of their body. And, you know, the people that truck it to the warehouse and the warehouse workers, and sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's a challenge. It really is. But, you know, hopefully everybody's out there doing their best. And then, of course, without a doubt, you know, the people that we get to work with every day, and it's our employees there in the office and the board members that support us in our program. And, you know, it's all about the people. And all of those fads come and go, and the business cycles come and go, and the markets come and go, but we're only as good as the people we get to work with.
Gabrielle's running for office.
She's going to be the mayor of Fossil.
What do you got for me?
Maybe.
I don't know. My youngest is going to graduate this year. I need a new challenge.
Oh, God.
They're going to make her mayor of Kinzu.
Thriving metropolis.
Thriving metropolis.
But no, seriously.
We're in after hours.
I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. And that's true of everything in life. Surround yourself with good people, man.
Absolutely.
Positive energy.
You were just saying how things come and go, but do you ever, you know, the hottest new thing? Let me give you an example. 20 years ago, you couldn't find a tri-tip.
Right.
You know, that number may
be
off.
You just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they ground it up.
Right.
Like that. Okay. Now you can't buy them certain times of the year.
Right.
Can't get them from you guys because you're committed 17 years out for tri-tips.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing. Somebody ever come up with a new cut that you say are using a piece for a new cut at the retail level and say, now we got to do all this?
The Beef Council 3 or 4 years ago went to the chuck roll, and the chuck roll's up on the front and the shoulder.
I think it's a few more years ago.
Showing my age. They went out and they created they took that chuck roll apart and turned it into three new pieces and trimmed it further trimmed it, processed it, went out on the street, taught the restaurateur how to cook the Denver steak and the something. I can't even remember them all. But what happens is in the production that we have today, things are happening so hard and fast. You're taking one item that's going into a cryovac, your vac pack machine. Okay, now you're running that one item goes into this cycle every three a second or something. I mean, this thing's running really hard and fast. So now there's no room on the line to take that apart and turn it into three cycles into your cryovac machine. So even though the Beef Council went out and invented something new, they couldn't create it at the packing house at the harvest because they couldn't speed up the machine, or they would have to take something off that line and put it somewhere else. And so there was no room to put it in the machine. So that's been the latest adventure in creating another muscle that's another super secret. Other than that, we've seen them all, and they all have fads. You know, we've got the short rib kind of came, and it hasn't went. It's kind of popped up. All of them have kind of had their latest flex, you know. And
you know, if people are looking for the secret is find the cuts that you like when they're on sale, wrap them really well, put them in the freezer, mm-hmm. and then you have it when you want it and you need it. That's yep. really what it is. Find what you like.
Yes.
You know, we kind of hit on this earlier, but find what you like and then stick with it, you know. Don't feel like you have to reinvent something new every time.
We make some things. Like, let's just say, for example, we make a beef bacon.
Yeah.
It has production costs, and it has quite a bit of production cost in it. And, again, we work in a slim margin world. So, yeah, we can get it out there and get it on the street, and it becomes a popular item. But there's so much cost involved with and the risk involved. You know, what happens when six cases get destroyed by somebody somewhere? There's no insurance for that. You don't go back to Liberty Mutual and get it taken yeah. care of. It's just your pocketbook. So there's limitations in your ability to do those things, but you can create something new. I think we were miles ahead when Gabrielle's joined Painted Hills, before I even was around there, they were trying to do a pre-seasoned packaged, pour it out in the pan, cook it, and boom, away it went. And now we've gone through all those cycles and all those things have showed up. We were just way out ahead. In fact, Gabrielle came to me the other day and she says, "You need a QR code on the sticker so people can scan it." And I did that 5, 6, 7 years ago when it first came out. I said, "I want a mini website. People are going to do this.
Yep.
They're going to do this on their phone. I want a QR code." And I didn't think anybody was actually using it, so I took it back off. So here we go again. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
We're way out there,
and
Jeff.
Speaking of that QR code, what I wanted people to check out was our brand new video that was just made for us. And it's amazing. And it's Will talking and his dad talking and our son Cal on a horse. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of work. So if they want to know what we're about, that's a really good little snapshot.
Where can they find it?
They can find that on our Facebook page.
Okay.
We just launched it yesterday.
Cool.
Yep.
Oh, and I got some new equipment. I'm trying to be that YouTube champ, but I can't fit that into my plan on my daily schedule. But I think it's good. You know, I live on a ranch. Gabrielle and I live on a ranch. I have a hot wire in the front yard to keep the calves out of the grass, right? So I need to show that stuff and say, look, it's just simple. These calves are out there picking up stuff that they can eat, and cows turn grass into something edible. You know, it's just simple. It's really simple.
If folks want to see it somewhere else, let us know where.
Yeah.
That's a clue. We're in fossil. We don't always know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll post it for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Funniest thing, funniest slogan to me about the beef business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grass-fed beef.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to me, they've been going over this for years now. It's all grass-fed.
Because guess what? They eat grass.
Yeah.
Like, they all eat grass.
They all eat grass.
What are you going to feed them? They don't all eat grass.
Well, they eat grass at least a portion of their life.
But they're talking about... Now, wait a minute. I'm going to get back involved. And Jeff earlier today was talking about meat from somewhere else. There is a part of the industry. Yeah. 10% of the cattle in the United States have black and white spots and you milk. And that animal is beef. And you get a cow that milks because you breed her every year and you have a calf. Some of the calves are wanted, some of the calves aren't wanted. But that is beef. They grow that into beef and it comes out on the street and it comes into the marketplace all over the place.
Right.
And that's dairy beef. And that's an animal that's been locked up, confined a long time in its life. And right. And so I think the problem is Chick-fil-A.
This is after hours, right?
Because I hate those commercials because they train people that all cows are black and white and that's where we get our beef. And it's not. That's only 10% of the industry. Yeah. And in fact, it's getting to be less because we actually like cheese and yogurt more than we like milk. And you get more of that from a red Jersey cow than you do black and white.
Right.
So I think that grass-fed is a consumer's way of saying, you know what, I want a beef animal and not a dairy animal, not something that's been confined its entire life. So, yes, you're absolutely right. We like to tell people, we're beef. These are beef cattle. I'm out here there's just acres and acres and acres. And one of those YouTube things you're going to see me finally get myself for Facebook or something, get out there and show you is how many acres there are around me in Fossil.
Right.
Because it takes lots of acres to raise a cow.
Yeah.
And if you're out on the Alvord Desert hanging out with your friends in the sagebrush at the Steens Mountains, it might take 100 acres per cow.
There's not much there.
What do we call them? 1080 cows, right? They're 10-foot mouse, 10-foot wide, going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So that's that. But that's it. We just have to have lots of acres. But I think people don't realize how many acres there are. Funny thing. Now you got me woke up. See, now where we go.
Good, because I'm going to sleep.
But,
Gabby and I are going to
need more coffee.
Gabby and I are going to go to lunch.
Yeah, I know. Funny thing, but, you know, we had a thing here. I like to watch. I've cut the cord, I must admit. But I like to watch some local TV you have here. And they sent some folks out across the state, and they went all the way to Bend, and then they went all the way to Burns. And they went, oh, my God, there's just so much out here of nothing. No, it's not nothing. There's cows that cover all that.
Yep.
They just don't cover it so thick. Cows can't be so thick that you look out there and go, oh, look at all those cows in the pasture. There's a cow over on that ridge. Oh, there's one down there in the draw.
Yep.
This is how we get the cattle in the cattle business in the Northwest. Yep. They're all over the place.
You know what we always called the distance between Burns or Bend and Burns?
What?
133 miles of kitty litter.
That.
It looks like that. You're absolutely right. It does look like that.
It is.
Oh, my God. Right. Gabrielle, what's your favorite hobby away from work and away from Will?
Oh, probably working out.
Doing
running or walking. I've been blessed to do a little CrossFit with a coach in Condon, and I got to help coach cross country, and I can't sit still. I'm not a sit still kind of person.
No, you're not.
So I'm always doing something, hiking around, take the dog out and go for a hike. My goal is to slow down enough so that I can take up some fly fishing. That's kind of my next adventure, but I'm letting Cal graduate so that I can have a little more free time. And that's where I'm headed next.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay. One more question for you, and then I'm going to go back to the big guy here.
Okay.
When you were doing your demos, you don't have to name names, but what was the worst place that you ever had to cook? Like when you were doing a demo, the problems with it, because I know, like I said, I've done a bunch of them for you guys over the years, and some of them were pretty interesting.
Some of them were. One thing, it was always cold. I like to be cold. And, you know, you're always talking to people. There's nothing bad about that, but I hated being cold in front of those, coffin case in a grocery store, and you're freezing and nobody shows up. And so come see us when we demo. If we're going to be in a store, come see us.
Well, Jesus,
we don't like
feed
to be
them.
Bored.
You feed them.
Speaking of feeding them, the first thing comes to mind. We got into a store one time, and they decided to go out and cook five whole ribs in a case in a little podunk store, not that big a town, not that much traffic. They cooked five whole ribs in the deli department. And we should have given them whole rib samples because we had nobody there, very few there. We went through half of one rib, and then we got stuck for the rest of it. And our policy is we provide the labor and the time, and we're 300 miles from you, so I hope you honor that a little bit, respect that.
Yep.
And all you have to come up with is the 3 pounds of beef I want to cook to hand to people. And I'm going to be sparing because I told you earlier I'm a cowboy, right, or a rancher. I'm not giving things away for free. So they just had it in for us, and that's the only time. You want the grocer to be on your team. You know, hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. What can I get you? Let's get going. Let's sell something, not abuse you for coming. So
there's a picture somewhere of Merton cooking on a fry pan on a broken cooker.
Yeah.
That one was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
And he did. He made it work.
You know.
His whatever cooker broke down. And so he put a fry pan on top of the cooker to try and get it, to try and make it work. That was entertaining.
Well, he'd probably gone out and put it on the hood of the truck if it was hot enough.
He would have. He'd have done whatever.
You get to travel around now.
A little bit.
What's your favorite thing about riding on airplanes?
What?
Well, you know, we were in Chicago one time. And we were getting checked in, and the lady was asking what we were doing there. We told her what we do. And the guy behind us was like, oh, my God, I'm on the plane with the Painted Hills people. And we're like, yeah. And he's like, you're the guy on the poster. I'm like, yeah, he really is. He's like, wait till I tell my wife that I'm on the plane with the Painted Hills people. You'd have thought.
Did you autograph it? Did you have a shirt?
I should have.
Best feeling ever.
That was pretty wild.
And he was excited to be.
That's pretty wild.
The cowboy, the guy that wears the cowboy hat. And he really is the guy that wears the cowboy hat.
I went to Chicago recently and I tried to find some. I have a distributor in the market there that I tried to go help and they turned me away. And then I tried, and then I did some internet research to try and find menu. You know, my name, our Painted Hills name on their menu. And so I found some. I didn't get any callbacks from four phone calls I made. I did find one that I physically went in the door and they said, sorry, the chef doesn't have time for you.
Yeah.
So that's the downside of that.
Yeah, I know that. We're gonna wrap this up here, but if Gabrielle, if we put your life to music, what would the music be?
Billy Joel, It's My Life.
There you go.
That's it.
How about you, big fella?
Oh, I don't have a clue. I don't know. Really? My life to music. You have to make me think this fast. I can't do it.
Well, see, I have it in my playlist, and I run to it. That's the one that I need that little boost. That's the one I play.
Lawyers, Guns, and Money from Warren Zevon or something like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and Ennio Morricone. Yeah, there you go.
Have you seen the Danish Symphony play that? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, really?
Beautiful piece of music.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You got to watch.
Now you're getting me going.
Maybe it's just David Allan Coe.
you don't have to call me. Well, I didn't tell you, but in the regular show, I put Merle Haggard in there as the music today, with no Christmas music. So, guys, thanks for coming over.
You bet.
I appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with another edition of what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, Barbecue Nation. And this is the After Hours. If you want more information about Painted Hills, go to their website. We've got links on our new website, which is Barbecue Nation with JT, or if you want to bypass me, which I hope you don't, but go to PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Go take a trip to Fossil one day if you can find it.
Yeah.
And
lots of people do.
They'll show you around.
Yeah, we will.
We give jerky to people.
There you go. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.